The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Pastor Meyer, good afternoon. Welcome to Man in Line on Manx Radio. We're open line this Friday lunchtime, so the floor is yours by calling 66 13 68. I don't know whether you saw the story about Evolden in Peel not happening. It's a big event. Lots of people used to go there, but not this year. And also, Onchan commissioners, members' expenses total £2,800 for a meeting attendance. Wow. And a change ahead for Ramsey Bakery. There are some plans submitted for the change of use at Ramsey Bakery. So, of course, the Ramsey Bakery were established in 1972 and called it quits 50 years later. But now, if planning approval is given, the building's going to be converted from a bakery into industrial storage and office units. If you want to take a look at the planning application, go to manxradio.com, click on news, and it's on the story there. But also the TT scoreboard. What is going to happen to the TT scoreboard? It seems at the moment nothing, because it is not a priority. Tim Johnson, MHK, the Enterprise Minister, says he can't commit to whether or not a replacement TT scoreboard will be in place in time for next year's TT races or not. The project's currently being put on hold until commercial funding is found for it. I just wonder if you're a TT... Well, we talked a lot about the TT yesterday, about the past of the TT, but the future... The Onchan MHK former member for Motorsport, Rob Callister, has some views on this.
Yeah, I'm disappointed with the announcement. Back in 2018, when we took down the old scoreboard, it was very clear that a funding application would be submitted to Treasury. And I know a number of DfE ministers have submitted funding bids since 2018, because back then the old scoreboard had to come down for safety reasons. But it was done with the knowledge and the promise that the old scoreboard would be replaced with an up-to-date, more technology facility for fans and locals to enjoy.
Would it not reduce cost by reinstating a manual scoreboard with using the scouts on the island as well, like we had before?
I would welcome any type of scoreboard to be put back in place. But personally, I think given the technology that's needed in respect of the TT these days, I think combination of the old type of scoreboard and with new technology embedded into that scoreboard, I think that is the way to go forward. I think it's short-sightedness on Treasury's part not to really understand the fundamental part that the TT scoreboard plays within delivering this event, not just for our visitors, but also for our locals. And I hope the funding can be found either through commercial sort of avenues or through local support and have this scoreboard back in place for 2025 at the very latest.
2025 at the very latest. If you're a TT fan, I just wonder what you think about the future of the TT scoreboard. Do we need it? Do we want it? Has it had its day? Do we need to reinvent it? Make it iconic again? And where, of course, is the money going to come from? They're talking now about commercial sponsorship. Didn't anybody think of that when they knocked the other one down, when they took the other one away since 2022? We could have had 2 years doing this. But any thoughts? Wilf's on now. Hi, Wilf.
Hi. Remember a few days ago I was talking about the lady gathering up leaves, plastic leaves up at the at Albert Tower.
At the mobile phone mast, the make-believe tree.
Yes, yes. Well, they've been delivered to me, two big bags full of plastic leaves, delivered to me via the town hall, and Tim Cowan now is trying to sort out who would be responsible or whatever, so they can sort it out.
So where are the leaves at the moment? Are they at the town hall or...?
I've got them. They're in the back of my car.
Oh, good Lord.
But there we are. I was trying to... What is this? Is this some Christmas tree that somebody's given me or something? And then I found it out in the end.
Well, okay. If anybody knows what to do with them, go to Wilf. He'll tell you where to put the leaves.
I'll tell him where to put them. Now, the other thing was, you remember I'm always harping on about the state of my beach, right, in Ramsey?
Yeah.
Now, and then they want to leave it to build up or bird's nest, not whatever it is. I've just been told that for several days now, might have been a week, I don't know, maybe even today, there is tractors and trailers and men working on Peel Beach to keep it immaculately clean. Now, the rub with this one is the wildlife headquarters is in Peel. So there's not going to be any birds nesting on Peel Beach. Or whatever. It's going to be kept lovely and clean. Now, the other thing was, Douglas Beach, I heard that there's lots of gravel being taken away, shifted or whatever.
Oh, yeah, there's at least two machines. There's a digger and I think and a scraper there at the moment.
But what are they doing with it?
Well, they're moving it around. I don't know where they're taking it.
Oh, well, it's no... They're total waste of money if they're not taking it away. Moving it around won't do any good whatsoever. The next big blow in show, put it back where it was.
Well, it's right at the bottom of Broadway, where the old pier used to stick out there, so they're shifting it around there.
Right. Well, I don't know. I'm not really interested in Douglas. I just told them what to do about it, and they haven't done it, so that's up to them.
Yeah, but that's where the dynamic of Douglas Beach changes, because by the War Memorial, you're down 12, 15 feet to the level of the beach where it used to be, and it's just the other side of there where it starts then to build up, up until you get up to Derby Castle, where it slackens off again.
Yeah, right, well... It's up to them. They let them carry on wasting the money. Now, the other thing I wanted to know was, when are you going to meet me down to look at my beach?
Oh, I'll be up there next week, Wilf. I'll be up there probably Monday or Tuesday.
Ah, right. Okay. Will you inform me or what?
I'll inform you. You get the sandwiches and I'll be there, Wilf.
Right. Okay. All right.
All right. Best of luck with your leaves. Have a good weekend.
Right, well, thank you.
Cheers now. And David's on with us now. Hi, David.
Hi, Andy. I just want a little talk, because you triggered my mind regarding getting out and about. I think that's what Manx Radio used to do now and again, to go to locations.
Yeah.
I'm involved with two charities, where Onken AFC and Onken Pension Social Club. And Onken Pension Social Club have been collecting for the food bank for a little while, and then last week, Onken AFC did the same thing for from the littler kids right up to the grown-ups, and everybody collected a load of food. We must have about 40 bags, maybe 45 bags of food, all sorts of things, nappies and stuff like that. But what I was thinking about, Dean, and this is where you come in, why can't you do a program from the food bank?
Well, the whole thing about Man in Line, you know, when we go out and about, I mean, we're more than happy to go anywhere. What we need is, you know, about a dozen people, minimum of a dozen people in a place between 12 and 1 live where we can talk about things. And that's really all we want. We want people with opinions who've got views on the world as we see it and the Isle of Man and things in general. And we're more than happy to pop along like we do with the schools. And we've done in the past. We've been to Queen's Pier and what have you. But, we're more than happy to get out and about. If you can find a dozen people and we can get them in a room, we'll bring the microphones out.
Yeah, what I was thinking of doing, Andy, is I'll have to ask the food bank organisation there. But I just want to tell you, I went down yesterday with some stuff as well to the food bank, and the guy said to me, Bernard, his name was, quickly, just, and there was a lot of people there too, "Have you ever been round to have a look to see what we actually do?" And he gave us a little talk. And I was quite surprised on the peaks and troughs where they need food, Christmas time, coming up to Easter. And I just wondered whether we could do a little program there, because you could have the food bank as a charity. There are several other charities that support the food bank. So you've got at least 12 people there already to say, well, what does your charity do? Yeah. What does your charity do? And we all help each other out, you know what I mean?
I tell you what's important, David. You know, since COVID, lots of new people have come to the Isle of Man. I think a lot of people left the island after COVID because they'd had a gutful of the whole thing. But everybody knows there are lots of new people who've come to the Isle of Man since. And I think it's really important that we showcase the Isle of Man to new people who come along and don't understand it, don't understand how different it is to wherever they may have come from. So the more opinions we get and the more we can let each other know what we do, I think the better.
Yes, I'm all for it, like, and, you know, I'm not wanting to say I'll be there myself, but we could get somebody from our charity to come along and talk as well and do something different and say, and I forgot the guy who was the head of all, like, the charities in the Isle of Man now, it's to do with breast cancer and stuff like that, he coordinates things, and you could get a feeling from the charities on what actually we have to do in the Isle of Man, what we have to comply with in the law under the AG's office. They look after the charities, make sure we're not laundering money. You know, it sounds funny to people when you talk to them. You say you've got to be registered a charity, you've got to do this X, Y, and Z, and most of it's down to money laundering to make sure that the charities in the Isle of Man are not money laundering into something else. Mm. But I just wondered. Now, the final thing for me on the scoreboards, that I couldn't believe 3 times Treasury have turned it down. So what have they been doing for the last, when the scoreboards went down, wouldn't you thought they said, scoreboards are going down, and I'd love to find out who actually made the decision on
Well,
that.
As you say, when it went, or when it was spirited away and sent off somewhere, I think it's maybe down at Balfane, or bits of it here, there and everywhere, but you would have thought they'd say, we've got plan A and plan B. Plan A is the taxpayer pays for it, plan B is we'll get somebody else to pay for it. It seems to have only just occurred to them.
Yeah, why can't we do a joint venture? They're all into this thing of housing board, the health service board. We could have a TT board, couldn't we? And we could have invited Honda, BMW, Kawasaki, all these people. You would have got £1 million in probably one hit. They would have said, well, what can we do? Not Dunlop anymore. Maybe somebody else. What's the Italian one that does the tyres for the racing? Stuff like that.
Yeah.
They probably would have had to love the, put a tower up. And can you imagine? I pass Glen Country Road all the time. There's always people wandering about with English cars.
Yep.
And motorcyclists there taking their pictures on, standing on the podium with the back of the grandstand looking
and
on.
You'll guarantee from a week on Sunday, Easter Sunday, when the clocks go forward, you'll find people there early morning. That iconic shot just after sunrise when Glen Cutchery Road is empty. There's a gorgeous shot if you stand by the bridge went over, the pedestrian bridge went over. There's a great shot up there with an empty road. It looks like nowhere else in the world. It's fantastic.
And that's what we've got. That's what we're known for, won't we? Cats, the TT, three legs, anything like that. Yeah. Where's our PR coming from? It's not the government.
All right. Have a good weekend.
See you, boy.
Cheers now. Just a quick word from the Isle of Man Victorian Society. If you are planning to attend tonight's talk on the steam railway, sadly, the steam railway talk isn't going ahead tonight because the speaker has been detained off the island, unfortunately. There's been a last-minute change of programme. So Peter Kelly's going to give a presentation called Wish You Were Here, an Edwardian Postcard Tour of the Isle of Man. It's in the Barbara Cottier Lecture Theatre at St. Ninian School Festival tonight, 8 o'clock. Use the Somerset Road entrance. I think I went in that earlier on this week. Non-members welcome, £2 charge. Members, of course, free, and £2 includes light refreshments. So it's an Edwardian postcard tour of the Isle of Man tonight, not the railway tour, which will be rescheduled in the future, the 150th anniversary of the line to Port Erin. Howard's on now. Hi, Howard.
Hello, Andy. Just listened to you when you started the programme, and they're saying about the scoreboards. Now, this sounds very much, this is the cynic in me, the horse tram sequence with them. They're saying we put it off till next year, we put it off till 24, we put it off. And how many more other things is this government going to postpone until they're all kicked out in the next election?
I suppose the cynic in you then, Howard, I don't want to speak for you, but I will, the cynic in you will say they're hoping that people will forget about it in the end, and it'll be such a high cost in the end, people will just throw up their arms and say, no, don't bother.
First figure they throw out, you've never heard of 100,000, 10,000 or whatever, the first syllable out of their mouth is it's going to cost £1 million. That's the starting figure, regardless whether they want to book it on the promenade or they want to build a mansion there. And I see they're down there excavating, and there was a large articulated truck pulled up at the bottom of Broadway on the walkway, and they were loading the stone into it. Now, I don't know where that was going to. I've just been along the promenade, and a wall certainly looks better on the beach side. And it's bound to stop the stone coming up because it's now got somewhere to hit instead of rolling straight up onto the prom. But they may be taking it away because there seems to be a mound of it there at the bottom of Broadway on the beach, and there's a fairly large excavator lifting it over the railings, and they appear to be dropping it into the back of this articulated trailer. But that aside, the horse trams and the scoreboards, they all seem to be sitting in the same Loctite system within the government. We'll put it off till afterwards. Well, procrastination is the stealer of time, and that's what we're going to get from our lot that's in there at the present moment. They'll just keep putting it off, and as you rightly say, it will price itself off the market. I can't remember, maybe you can refresh. When did the tower clock go that used to be at the back of the scoreboards? I think that was the Dunlop Tower, wasn't it?
It was, yes. Good
Lord. A big clock on it. Yeah.
No, somebody will know.
Yeah, that disappeared. The scoreboards were replaced with new steel. And they turned around and said, well, again, it was because of lack of maintenance. They used to be taken away each year or maintained in situ. But then it was just forgotten. And again, rust. Rust stops for nobody. And this is what's happened. They were rusting away and became dangerous. But now we've got a worse problem. Rust, you can cure it. But a lazy government, you can't. And, you know, this is what we've got at the moment. They're putting them off until such times that people will be disgusted and just say, out to hell with it.
Well, I mean, it just depends what somebody thinks the TT scoreboard is worth. Let's just do a bit of maths here, Howard. They said it's £1 million for the scoreboard, yep. Yeah? Well, let's be realistic then. It's going to be £2 million if the government does it. If it lasts 40 years, that's £50,000 a year. We get roughly 50,000 TT visitors a year. That's £1 per visitor per year for 40 years.
That's now, not bad.
Exactly. I mean, with that arithmetic, wouldn't you think that that would be possibly worth it? I don't know, maybe that's just rough arithmetic as to see what it would be worth. If it's, and also the fact that, did nobody think about commercial sponsorship when it first came down?
They can't think beyond the end of their nose. They've got to look at the figures and they go immediately to Treasury. They've got a Department of Enterprise there. They've missed one word out of that title, and I won't say what it is, but it begins with L. And they just don't seem to want to think beyond their office. If they get off their backsides and go out and have a look around without a clipboard, just make life look interesting and see what there is to be done. And this is how the tourist board and everybody in the tourist industry used to work. Now they sit in and they build a model on a computer how it should work. And that doesn't work. We all know that. But just going back to your Albert Tower, something you were saying about the artificial trees up there. I don't know how many people notice, but on the top of the White Bridge, the Pick Your Own Fruit Farm, if you look where you're coming from, the Liverpool Arms side, there's been an artificial tree there, an aerial, for, I would say 20 years. It's just on the horizon, right on the top of the hill, as you're looking out over the farm. And it's been there for years. It stands out like a sore thumb, but if you're not looking for it, it blends in. So that's not a new thing with the, but they should never have put it on the Albert Tower. That's an insult to royalty.
All right. Okay.
Okay.
Have a good weekend. Thanks for that, Howard. And Andrew's with us now. Hi, Andrew.
Hi there. Good morning, Andy. Good afternoon, Fastamai. Principally, just wanted to agree with Howard. And when schemes are put forward that go to Tynwald for Tynwald approval, I don't believe, maybe other listeners have some thoughts, but I don't believe that MHKs should vote for any proposal whatsoever where something is going to be replaced, in inverted commas, until there is budget allocation approved by Treasury so that the replacement can then be done without delay. Because that's what seems to happen. We're going to replace the horse tram tracks. Didn't happen. We're going to do this. The scoreboard isn't happening.
So, Andrew...
Because there's no money available. But there should be money available when they come to decide, yes, we're going to replace it.
So where's the blockage then? If the elected representatives say, this is what we want to do, and it doesn't...
They don't. They don't, do they? Because it's not put in such a form that, yes, we're going to remove the scoreboard and we're going to replace it with this, and we've got Treasury consent that there is money available for this amount to do it, and we're going to do it within this time frame. That's the bit that's missing for when the members vote on it.
I mean, do you think this is part of the disconnect between politics and the people, the electorate, the voters? If the electorate hear that something's going to happen and it doesn't happen, it just detaches.
Correct.
It just detaches
correct.
You from the.
But what's
from
the point?
Yeah,
it just makes people think. What is the point of voting for MHKs when they don't actually control what's going on? There's no point. The civil servants are there and they put words in the minister's mouth and the members go, oh, right, OK, yes, yeah, OK. But they don't think it through. And even if they do think it through, they vote on it. But the civil servants don't take any notice, do they? Because, you know, it got de-scoped, the trams, or, oh, now we haven't got the money. It's like, I'm looking at now at... the visit this week, and some ideas came to mind, and I'll let you know now, I've actually put in a couple of FOIs to the council. For example, the mayoress's missing chain, and whatever happened on that.
Yeah, where is that?
What was the last insured value?
Yeah.
And when and what amount did the council subsequently receive from the insurers? What amount is the current mayor's chain insured for and the current mayoress's chain insured for? And as a result of the council now having city status, will any changes be needed to any of the mayoral regalia? And what will be the cost of such changes? Because I'm pretty sure the ratepayers didn't vote for costs to be incurred like this.
It will be interesting. I just wonder, I mean, just flippantly, I just wonder how much it costs to change all the stationery. That's one thing for a start.
Well, yes. I mean, did the ratepayers vote for a metal plaque to be done? And all the other welcome to Douglas, like the one when you're coming down from Onken past the old Summerland site, that's going to have to be changed as well.
Yeah. And
I don't
again,
believe the ratepayers voted for any of this.
And again, I'm not being flippant about this, but I mean, do you feel any burgeoning sense of civic pride knowing that Douglas is a city?
No. None whatsoever. None whatsoever.
So what do you think? What do you think the councillors in Douglas City Council can do for it to be, for Douglas to be like a city, to represent itself like a city, rather than just having the title city?
Well, why does it need to?
Well, it is now, so we may as well run with it.
Yes, but I mean, for what purpose? We're a city. Oh, well, yeah, okay. How many other cities are there in the world? Well, what's the point? It's just, I don't see the point. I just don't see the point, and I just don't see how there's going to be any economic benefit for just calling yourself a city rather than a town or a borough.
Right, next time we get a Douglas councillor in, maybe they can answer the question.
Exactly.
Okay. All right, thanks, Andrew.
Thanks now.
Cheers now. Have a good weekend. Here's Byron with us now. Hi, Byron.
Yeah, hi, Andy. Just a quick feedback on the TT4 scoreboard thing. Yeah. We have these massive mobile digital screens you'll see at concerts all over the place in the summer. Surely something like that, I would virtually guarantee, will be far cheaper and far easier to operate for the TT scoreboard. I'm rather surprised nobody's thought of it in the past, but it would need to be investigated. But you see them everywhere at different concerts, don't you?
Yeah.
Anyway, that's just from me, Andy, so wish everybody well with that.
Bless you. Thanks for calling today. 27 minutes before one on Manx Radio. You know, every Monday and Friday, we delve back into the 60 years of Manx Radio and look at things that have happened in the past and also bring you some voices. Today, it is a belter. Talking about tourism, talking about people who knew how to represent the Isle of Man, Managing Director of the Palace and Derby Castle Limited and the Palace Hotel and Casino, Sir Dudley Cunliffe Owen. Looking back to 1970, Sir Dudley Cunliffe Owen will be on Manx Radio after Man in Line finishes today.
Ever thought your storage could be more smart, more spacious, more stylish? Discover chic and clever bedroom storage solutions at Lifestyle Furniture. Crafted with care and precision, our range of sliding door and hinged wardrobes is available in a wide choice of sizes and beautiful finishes, all with 0% finance, and we'll deliver and build them for you absolutely free. Find a smarter wardrobe at Lifestyle Furniture, Snugbrough Trading Estate and Union Mills. Finance available subject to status. Terms and conditions apply. See in store for details.
We interrupt this broadcast to inform all our listeners about the huge range of bathrooms and showers on display at Pacesetter. Yes, you all know that Pacesetter is known as the island's largest tile store, but I'm here to tell you that their bathroom displays are truly inspirational. Visit Pacesetter on Harris Terrace, where you'll discover a fabulous collection of stylish bathrooms. There's something to suit everyone, with design available. Pacesetter bathrooms and showers to show off about.
Do you know a scrap man? Cause I've got scrap to clear. Causing cold for breath and lead, and I need cash for beer.
What? You don't know a scrap man? Gastains of Foxhall is the one for you. Gastains will take all scrap metal and is also licensed for dry cell and lead acid batteries. So don't delay, ring 801-337 now.
So now we know a scrap man and all our scrap's been cleared. Ring 801-337, then have cash for beer. Call Cost Dice today and get yourself a beer.
At Isle of Man Energy, we're excited to offer our customers the Alpha E-Tech Efficient Hybrid Gas Boiler and Heat Pump Combination. This state-of-the-art hybrid boiler causes minimal disruption to your existing heating system, making it simple to upgrade. Priced from just £65 a month and with 6-year warranty as standard, which can be extended to 10 years, what are you waiting for? Register for a free consultation at islandmanenergy.im.
It's the business end of the season in the NWCFL Premier Division, and with just around 1 month remaining, FC Isle of Man remain on the charge to get as many points on the board as possible. The Ravens' latest test sees them host Ramsbottom United at the Bowl on Saturday night, with the visitors on the hunt for their first victory since early February. Join me, Rob Pritchard and Tony Meppen for FC Isle of Man versus Ramsbottom United, kicking off at 6pm this Saturday. Manx Radio will be providing full live match commentary on our DAB and AM 1368 channels. Live coverage of FC Isle of Man on Manx Radio is supported by Celtic. Wilton, investing in our community.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
24 minutes before one, open line today on Man in Line. Paul's on now. Hi, Paul.
Hello there. I thought I'd call about the TT scoreboard, just to put a different viewpoint.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems to me the scoreboard is really only in use for 4 weeks of the year, and the remaining 11 months, particularly over the winter, the old scoreboard was always sad and desolate and covered in litter and was not really an elevating sight or an encouraging sight. So having a disused scoreboard standing there for months over the winter, I don't think it actually enhances the environment of Douglas at all. So having a temporary scoreboard coming in for when it's actually needed seems to make a lot of sense. I reckon, you know, if there's a business case for a permanent scoreboard and they can actually show it's good value for money, well, fair enough. But if not, from the viewpoint of the non-bike fan, having the scoreboard only there when it's actually needed is quite a bonus.
So what you'd have a temporary one then, just for Grand Prix and for the TT, a big one, because the thing with the old one, it was massive, and it was iconic. So you don't think there's any merit in having that something like that.
I'm not going to say there's no merit in it. I'm going to say that from kind of chatting to people last year, I didn't get the impression that the visitors were devastated by the lack of sort of kids running around with bits of metal. And if you've got a modern digital scoreboard, you can change your display so you can convey a lot of information with less physical space. And if you're bringing it in and just using it when you actually need it, you haven't got it just sort of hanging around gathering litter and detritus for the rest of the year. I mean, the old, you know, I walk up and down that area, and the old scoreboard, it didn't enhance the area, let's put it kindly.
Interesting. Okay. All right. Thanks, Paul. Good to hear from you.
Good to talk to you, Andy.
All right. Thanks for that. 21 minutes before one. Have a good weekend. Michael's with us now. Hi, Michael.
Hi, Andy. I have to agree with your previous caller, Paul. I think before the virtual ink has dried on the metaphorical check, any new scoreboard we put up will be just outmoded. And, you know, with having just big screens, they can come up with whatever scoreboard they want and convey whatever information they want and move with the times and use the screens at other places or just hire them when they need them.
Okay. I mean, you are aware some people will think that you're voicing sacrilege here, Michael.
Well, absolutely. But, I mean, if they wanted to put the old thing back up as it was, then, I mean, it was about 10 minutes after somebody had gone through somewhere, the Cub Scout went and turned the arrow to show them that they were... Oh, no, that happened automatically, didn't it, actually? The arrow, about 5 minutes after the rider had gone through, turned round to the next place, Ramsey or the bungalow or wherever it was. I just don't think they're able to convey as much information. If somebody's following a particular rider or relative or whatever, they can actually look at it in real time and see where out of all the sectors that they are on the course. And I just think to invest such a huge amount of money for something that in 10 minutes' time, you know, they've come up with something new that would be better. I just think it's not a good way of using our resources.
Okay, I mean, so do you think in some ways then the old scoreboard was quaint rather than functional?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, like I said, the lap times went up and who was winning, and that was about 10 minutes after they'd passed or something like that. It was quaint, and it was lovely that the scouts were there to do it, and it was a brilliant experience for them. But unless we actually go back and do that again, which, like I say, doesn't convey the amount of information that probably a lot of the modern viewers would prefer, I just don't think it's really worth spending that amount of money on.
Okay, well, we appreciate that, Michael. Thanks for calling today.
All right, no problem, Andy. Bye.
All right, have a good weekend. 19 minutes before one. Let's hear what the Minister has to say. Tim Johnston.
I'm not going to make a commitment to that. I understand Ms Callis's views. Obviously, he was, as I say, he was a member of the department and was very keen to see that replaced. And I understand that. And I think I agree with him. It would be great to see that replaced. So I'm not going to make that commitment, but certainly want to make a commitment to look at it again seriously and see what we can do. It's not a priority at the moment. As I say, it's a big cost. It was thought to be around £1 million a few years ago now. So I think, you know, with costs, it will be more than that. So it's about priorities. Obviously, we've got the temporary ones in place. That they do give a lot of information. Clearly, they are only relevant to the people who are actually in the grandstand generally anyway. And I think also the pit crews find the new screens really positive. So I'd certainly want to see something like that incorporated going forward into some sort of replacement of what was there traditionally. Like you say, there's a timeline in place, so we have to see what's reasonable.
Tim Johnston, MHK, on the proposals for the new TT grandstand, for the scoreboard. £1 million. So a temporary one, a new one, public sponsorship, commercial sponsorship. What do you think about it? With people relying on food banks, says Paul on 530, and a supposed cost of living crisis, Rob Callister wants to waste £1 million of our money on an antiquated waste of time. The TT scoreboard belongs in the past. It was exactly this type of narrow-minded stubbornness not to move with the times that resulted in the TT losing its world championship status. The scoreboards have gone. Accept it. Move to the future. The words of Paul. Thanks also to Frank, who just said, in addition to Roy Moore's fascinating recollections of the Honda team at Nursery Hotel in 1959, a good friend of mine was staying at the TT, staying near the Nursery Hotel. He noticed the Honda team, and over a period of days made friends with one of the team, whose name I forget. During the week, Frank helped them with various technical queries and was eventually allowed to sit on one of the race bikes, had a photo of the event that he cherished. Eventually, his new Japanese friend allowed him to have a little test ride in the car park. I think he'd been helping them with the brakes. Great. And Frank found motorcycles and racing recuperating from being shot down three times. And he went to race at the Clubman's TT and then shared his knowledge with the various riders in team. That's Frank Lubley, ex-RAF engineer and flight engineer on Stirlings and Halifax bombers in the war. Thanks for that. Good to hear from you. We had another call as well regarding that yesterday. And it was for a gentleman who was talking about the Sulby Glen.
Hello there. A follow-up to your programme yesterday when you were talking about the Honda team, which reminds me about probably the first year they came over, a small group of them with a man, which I assume was their team leader, who spoke English. They called into the pub at Sulby Glen, and I happened to be in the hotel at the time having a little drink, and as soon as they came in the door, admittedly the landlord, I won't mention his name, we well know, he had been a prisoner of war and held by the Japs. So you can imagine his reaction. In a matter of seconds, they were all out in the street. No idea what was taking place. They were waving at arms and speaking in a foreign language. Then after a short time, the manager, who did speak English, bundled them all back into a car, and away they went. But they didn't get no drink. Thank you.
When the man in line's not on air, call Manx Radio to leave your opinion for broadcast on 682 631.
At Thrive Farms, we have a passion for growing and providing fresh local food for the Manx community. As a not-for-profit, community-run business, we need volunteers. There are many opportunities to learn how to grow, harvest and more. Exchange your time for food and community. See Facebook or visit thrivefarmsiom.com for details. Thrive Farms, our community, our soil, our legacy. This audio has been kindly sponsored by Miller Chaps of Ramsey.
Ah, that's a large magnolia you've got there, Tom.
I know, Bert. It's grown and grown. Just like my savings have with the Guernsey Bank Skipton International.
Really?
They offer attractive interest rates and are genuinely committed to providing great customer service.
Right.
You always get a real human being to talk to, too, not some automated voice.
If you want your savings to grow faster, looked after by real people who care, switch to Skipton today. Call 01481 730 730 or visit skiptoninternational.com. Skipton International is licensed to take deposits by the GFSC and is a participant in the Guernsey Banking Deposit Compensation Scheme. Details at www.dcs.gg.
There's monkeys and meerkats, penguins galore. You can meet with a panda, owls, lemurs and more.
The Currax Wildlife Park is open 7 days a week. So book your tickets and experiences online now at currackswildlifepark.im.
Whether you like live music, theatre, film, or running around in circles pretending to be a superhero, you'll love Villa Gaiety. With Dragon's Castle Play Area, Broadway Cinema, Gaiety Theatre and the Villa Marina. Check out the upcoming events at villagaiety.com or call 600-555. Villa Gaiety, the island's premier entertainment venue.
In 1964, Manx Radio was born. Right the way through this momentous year, we are marking the nation station's 60th birthday. On Monday and Friday, the Man in Line closes with a revealing dip into the archives. On Wednesday's Man in Line, we revisit the architectural gems revealed over the years by Kelly's Eye. And Kelly's Eye will be on Gullah's Gargan at 5 on Sunday. And you can subscribe to all of our anniversary content online. Go to the podcast series 60 Years Serving the Nation at manxradio.com. Manx Radio at 60. Born to broadcast, happy to help.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
A note in from Sean on 423. The scoreboards, yes, needed repairs every year, but wasn't it the case that the clerk of the course put it in his risk assessment for the TT course that it was deemed to be dangerous to have scouts on the board and bikes passing at high speed, despite the DOI spending thousands of pounds on that catch fence 2 years before? Thank you, Sean, for that point. Was that the truth? Was it the clerk of course that was this? Why this 11th hour dilemma concerning the scoreboard, says Kath on 728. It's appalling. It's quite obvious this issue was put on the back burner by those who just aren't interested in the TT course. Ah, you think that, Kath, do you? They had plenty of time to replace the scoreboard. There is no excuse for this. Thanks also to WhatsApp 575, who just said, for something that brings in most of the Isle of Man's tourist money, this should be a priority, just like the horse trams, or are the government just not bothered anymore? Thanks also to the Dunlop Tower had at the top the Stanley Woods clock, says Pete. That was it. Is that true? So when did the clock go, I wonder? And such a shame that Eve Walden has been cancelled, says Alec, thanks to Peel Town Commissioners. Is this narrow-mindedness? I understand that the huge sponsor package was offered to the organisation was from a well-known brewer. And because they wanted to bring a mobile bar, they voted against letting the bar operate. Didn't know that, if that's true, but it's your opinion at the moment, Alec, one of the commissioners. The commissioners objected, presumably. The reasons behind the cancellation of Eve Walden were discussed at Peel Town Commissioners' latest meeting. Financial constraints and issues with sponsorship were among the challenges. Last night, Peel Town Commissioners met for the first time since the ruling by the Planning Committee to also refuse the plans for Marine Parade. The board unanimously agreed that it would be appealing the decision, and they submitted a planning application in November last year, which in principle would have featured a new cafe, Crown Green Bowling Clubhouse, and public toilets. Marine Parade is zoned for tourism use in the Peel local plan. That isn't going. I just wonder what you think about that. It was confirmed also at the meeting, Eve Walden's not going ahead. The big fire festival isn't going ahead due to financial constraints. Last month, the commissioners agreed to give the organisers £6,000, which the clerk confirmed is in line with the amount given to the carnival. The local authority said the organisers crowdfunded and sought sponsorship of the event to make up the shortfall. An email sent to the local authority attached as part of the minutes says the sponsorship package was obtained and would have been a welcome attraction to the town. It also says the commissioners didn't support the sponsorship offer, which was put forward, and this is one of the reasons that the event isn't going forward. We'll find out more, obviously, as this time goes on. However, the local authority says it's always supported Eve Walden. We'll find out. Incidentally, as well, there was a planning application which was discussed. It was Dandara's proposal for 92 houses off Ballatessan Meadow. The commissioners agreed to ask planning for a deferment to give them time to speak to developers about their concerns with the plan. The board members said particular concerns were planning gain and insufficient infrastructure to support the development, as well as the lack of public transport routes for what is happening in Peel. Interesting. I wonder what your thoughts are on Evolden. I just want to bring you what the Enterprise Minister Tim Johnson says about the future of the TT grandstand. Much has been talked about this.
There's constant maintenance, ongoing maintenance and improvement in that area. There's been a lot of investment in the grandstand. There's no immediate challenge. Still a relatively modern building. It still achieves what we need to achieve. And I say there has been further investment. So no major plans at this stage. It will be an ongoing process of investment. Quite happy now. We've got a new member in place and we're looking to do some work on that. Part of a broader package of plans and exciting plans we have the TT moving it forward. So certainly happy to look at it again as part of that, because we recognise the heritage and the symbolism of that. Absolutely want to see something happening, but again, I don't want to put sort of timescales on it at this stage. A huge amount of history and heritage to the event. We also have to remember that it's an ongoing challenge, investment in safety, for example, and we've seen huge increases in insurance. So the work we're doing to build that global audience for the TT and get that new supporter coming to the island, that bucket list to come to the island to see the TT, that's our priority, because that's where we'll make the TT sustainable.
What do you think about this? What do you think about the future? Possible? Do you think we should be rethinking what the TT scoreboard is going to look like? Tim Johnson also talking about the grandstand and how much of a life that's got left. If the TT is to thrive and to move forward, and as Tim Johnson said, to get those bucket list tourists in, what do we have to do, do you think? I think it would make sense, says Mark, to replace the TT scoreboard with a temporary display, similar to the one at the bottom of Pullrose Bridge, which is used for advertising, says Mark. It's bright, that is, isn't it? My word, in the middle of the night, that's bright. Could you ask the Climate Change Transformation Team what date is penciled in for the very last TT? I'm guessing it doesn't fit with a net zero policy. A TT scoreboard isn't needed in 2024. It's a museum piece, says WhatsApper 805. Most people look at the results on their phone. Surely that's the way forward. So what are your thoughts on this? Text, email, call and WhatsApp. We're back with an open line on Monday. And if out of hours you want to get in touch, as our caller did regarding the Sulby Glen and the Honda team, The answer phone is 682-631. Thanks for that call. And out of hours, email maninline@manxradio.com. Next Thursday, just prior to Good Friday, it's constituency Man in Line, Douglas Central MHK's Chris Thomas and Anne Corlett will be live. But open line on Monday. Thanks to Howie Kane on the phones today. Have a great weekend.
WINT.
60 years serving you as the nation station. This is Manx Radio.
In 1970, the Manx tourism industry was starting to struggle. The tried and tested offering of decades was beginning to wilt in the face of the sunshine of the Costa Brava. Reinvention was needed, and that was recognised by Sir Dudley Cunliffe Owen, Managing Director of the Palace and Derby Castle Limited and the Palace Hotel and Casino.
As far as the general run of the tourist industry was in 1970, I would describe it that we had a traditional, usual, rather dull season. And quite frankly, when I look to 1971, I'm extremely worried. I think we'll have another dull traditional season. I think we are going to be hit hard by the package deals which go to the continent where they have sunshine. The package deal is getting cheaper and cheaper, and to physically arrive in the island is getting more and more expensive. And I am of the opinion that the time has come when something really drastic has got to be done in the island to attract the tourists. We've had the tourist report and nothing seems to be happening. And as far as I'm concerned, I think that 1971 will be a worse season than 1970 unless something is done and done fast.
Would you have any particular thoughts of what the immediate action should be?
I am very keen on making some price differences in the island that will attract people. I should like to see drink and cigarettes certainly cheaper. I think we should examine the possibilities of possibly lowering the price of just beer, but something's got to be done to make the island different this season from what it was last season. We seem to have been in the same old tourist rut for years. It's a highly competitive business, and we have got to keep up with the times. And people year after year are not going to be satisfied with either the Palace Ballroom or the Villa Marina, when literally dozens of brand new modern conference halls are being built not only in England, but all over Europe.
In 1971, on the site of the old Derby Castle, what was claimed to be the largest indoor leisure complex in Europe was opened. Its name was Summerland.
Part of island life for 60 years. This is your Manx Radio.